the order he placed at the bar, with cash to burn. Right now, that's what Caroline's looking for. The term sugar daddy suggests something sickly sweet, an expectation. She prefers ration book. Stamps not just for meat and cooking oil, but for introductions. A means to earn enough to put a roof over her head and have money left over to send home. Take a good look at this place. That's what you're here for. A flat is too fancy a description for the living room, kitchenette and bedroom she can sense behind the door to her right. It's all so shabby, a clutter of things that make no attempt to match each other. You'll need to tone down your expectations, girl. Unlike at home, home in Suffolk, that is, there's a tower of shillings to feed the gas meter, teetering as if someone's just brushed past. There's a gramophone player with a stack of 78s, a decanter on a tray, held aloft by a statue of a young Negro. Did it come with the rooms? Or is it the kind of thing a man like Finbar Weir finds amusing? Caught frowning at his Negro, Caroline colours from the neck upwards.
Quick, say something.
It's 9:10, can you warm up the wireless?
Warm up the wireless? Will you listen to yourself?
All the same, he goes to switch on the radio set.
It's something my dad used to say.
Though she's betrayed her age, something liberating strikes Caroline. Here, it's possible to mention her father. In her new London life, she can parrot his favourite expressions without worrying that one of the younger ones will demand, "When's Dad coming home?" Without fear that her ma's eyes will glaze over. She forces a tense smile, says,
"At home, everything always stopped at 9:10.
"At home?" His mockery ramps up her nerves. This must be what it feels like to be a boy whose voice is breaking. One moment BBC News reporter, the next lapsing into the language of childhood. Determined not to let on, Caroline raises a baton-like finger.
"Home, at Airhouse,"
she enunciates in the King's English.
"That's more like it. We'll make a Londoner of you yet.
We'd warm up the radio set in time for the news."
"Slow down. You're blabbering."
Caroline crosses one leg over the other. She's in the early stages of turning herself into someone new, someone sophisticated. Not by choice, not exactly. Dar's disappearance has forced her hand. Caroline thought Ma was being kind, sending her on her way when she did, that she'd sensed what went on that evening when the bailiffs arrived and Ma pushed her towards the back door, hissing,
"Fetch your Uncle Anthony!"
When Caroline did as she was told, her uncle cornered her, asking what she would do for him, and he was breath and hands and mouth. But sending her on her way was no kindness. When Ma gave her a last packed lunch, she held her close and said,
"We're all counting on you."
This, from the same woman who used to ruffle Caroline's hair and call her "my little worry guts."
"We're all counting on you."
With those words, her skin prickled, and she sensed that Ma had known. The war might be over, but sacrifices weren't just expected. They were demanded. This thought lurks behind every decision Caroline must make. Why she's here, in the rooms of a man she's only just met. A ridiculous situation to have put herself in, especially when you think what the newspaper hawkers have been hollering after everything she's read. A gallstone the size of a grape led to the discovery of human bone, dentures, a lipstick container.